As of March, the parties are engaged in discovery. This is extremely significant, what the court's order recently provides. Excel spreadsheets that track matters considered by the hospital's peer review committees for the years 2010 and 2014, meeting minutes of the Professional Practice Evaluation Committee, documents sufficient to show the number of serious safety events, precursors, near miss. And what's the purpose of this? What the plaintiffs are trying to show is that there was no reason to impose, other than an age, this condition. There were not more near misses. There were not incidents. There were not lawsuits. It's solely based on age considerations. So this was something that obviously Yale fought hard not to produce, this level of granularity. So again, very important, and that's why we're watching it. The next case is Texas Health, Hughley versus Jones. This is one of the first reported cases involving COVID in Texas, because as you know, things grind slowly, so you don't always follow. Even though COVID hit in full bloom January and February of 2020, this is one of the first cases. I won't cover very many of the ivermectin cases. I do want to cover one in Texas, but to know that they are still being filed, they're all over. My firm is involved in three right now in Norfolk, Virginia, involving the person who's the founder of the big ivermectin movement. Jason Jones was dying from the after effects of being infected with COVID. That's an important distinction in the facts, because he had it, and he's a long COVID, or what we call a long-haul sufferer. His doctor treated him with steroids and antibiotics, and he was placed in a medically induced coma. His wife sought the services of an out-of-town physician who was well-known as prescribing ivermectin and that particular clinical protocol. She asked the hospital to administer ivermectin to treat her husband, and the hospital refused. She sued to obtain an order requiring the hospital to administer it. We've handled a number of these, and they're always very difficult. And in fact, during the pendency of one of the TROs we were handling, the patient died. And that's become more and more common, because this is really a last resort type of medication sought by family members. The hospital physician testified that Mr. Jones had refused the traditional hospital's COVID protocol. And this was at a time when he was competent to refuse the care. Mr. Jones was not suffering from COVID, but rather the long-haul syndrome, which, as you know, impacts the lungs most significantly. There was no evidence that ivermectin was beneficial for the treatments of the after effects of COVID. Here the issue was Dr. Bowden did not practice at that hospital, did not have privileges, and you see this more and more, where they want to bring a physician who's willing to initiate an ivermectin protocol but doesn't practice at that hospital. This particular patient was in the ICU, and she did not have ICU admitting privileges because she was an otolaryngologist. So the court ordered, refused to order the hospital and its staff to administer. It ordered the hospital to permit Dr. Bowden to have temporary privileges solely for the purpose of ordering and administrating ivermectin. The hospital appealed the order. No one challenged the immediacy of it under traditional notions of a TRO. Her pleadings did not assert any violations of law. She only could establish a difference of opinion among experts on the efficacy of ivermectin. When this case was pending, and when I prepared the PowerPoint, we did not yet have a study that just came out 2 weeks ago. You might have read about it. Extremely important if your hospital is facing someone trying to administer ivermectin. And the study concludes that it has zero efficacy in the care and treatment of COVID, whether long-haul COVID or active COVID symptoms. So it's important to get that into the record if you're facing a TRO. The appeal was whether the judiciary had the authority to intervene and compel a particular outcome in the hospital's legal exercise of its discretion. I find these words compelling, and I will be using them in briefing going forward in these kinds of cases. Just as a doctor exercises his or her judgment in providing medications, a hospital also exercises its judgment in how and to whom it chooses to grant hospital privileges. So there's really a great separation here, and the court's understanding that they don't practice medicine. Hospitals and physicians can make these choices for their patients. One of the quotes in the case was, we can make law, we can't make medicine. We wear black robes, not white coats. I love quotable quotes that we can all use another time. The next case is the Memorial Hermann Health System case. This is one that we have followed for quite some time as well. Very important case that everybody's watching and commentators are watching. Obviously, painful for the Memorial Hermann people who might be in the audience, but I think it's wise to go through some of the facts again very quickly. Dr. Gomez and his PA sued Memorial Hermann for defamation, business disparagement, tortious interference. The jury awarded $6 million on the defamation and business disparagement claim and another $6 million in compensatory and exemplary damages.